Hey there, creative minds and business enthusiasts. Welcome to Looks Like We Made It, the podcast where we dive deep into the dynamic world of video marketing, content creation, and all things creative. I'm Izzy, your guide through this creative journey, wearing two hats, head of production and senior video editor. But I'm not in this alone. Meet the other half of our dynamic duo, my dad, Chris, our director and the creative genius behind Howl Media and Howl Training. Together, we're not just a podcast, we're a father-daughter team on a mission to bring you insights, tips, and laughs from the heart of the creative industry. Whether you're a business looking to up your video game or a budding creative hungry for knowledge, this is the place to be. We've got real-life experiences, expert advice, and a sprinkle of anecdotes to keep things interesting. So if you're ready to unlock the power of video, bespoke content and training to achieve amazing results, you're in the right spot. Fasten your seatbelts because this is Looks Like We Made It, where we turn creativity into success one episode at a time. So, post-pandemic, 4 years later, can you tell our listeners a little bit about what happened during that time for us? What were we doing? What were we investing in?
Well, like lots of businesses, the pandemic was a really terrible and weird and unique time. So when I got back from Beachy Head, where I was going to throw myself off, when overnight your entire order book goes to zero because it all involves lots of people all being together, when we kind of landed and we realized that we needed to just make a few changes, our event side of the business dramatically changed because we instantaneously realized that the world of live streaming was going to be a big deal.
Because no one could leave their homes, could they?
And
really?
No one could leave their homes. And because we already had a lot of the equipment and expertise in place, we were able to pivot quite quickly to really, really expand our live streaming operation. We invested in more kit that was more suitable for sort of larger events. I mean, the events that we did obviously were either dark events or kind of as live. So a dark event would be where we would be in an environment with no audience, and then streaming, or we would be pre-recording like an award ceremony or an event, and then it would go out as live. And really, it's just a combination of that. So, yeah, it was an interesting and challenging time for anybody in the space.
It was very difficult, and I think, but this is where it leads me on to my question.
The question.
Today. My topic, the question, is that 4 years on, many years later, it feels very, very, it doesn't feel like 4 years.
Well,
it feels,
I suppose it's 3 years, because or 3 years and a bit years, but either way.
Well, it's 2020 to 2024, a long time ago,
yes,
now,
okay.
Basically.
Well, like a lot of people, it's kind of gone out of our consciousness a little bit.
I think we've all collectively tried to forget it.
It's a very strange thing. But we're going to scratch that scab and bring it all back to life.
Yeah, exactly. But this is a positive. I'm going to finally get to the question.
Go on, then.
And the question is, do we think live streaming as a service, as a concept, as a thing, where does it have a place post-pandemic? Because obviously people are wanting to get back into being at live events. Obviously people are back in audiences, back doing things, but we are still doing live streaming. We are still reaching audiences across the world. Where do we think that all fits?
I think it does fit. I think it's still,
okay, good.
I think that's good news. I think it's still really important.
Short episode.
I think it's a changing landscape. My first observation would be post-pandemic, not everybody wants to be around other people. I think there's been a shift in behavior. I think there's been a shift in society. And I think that some people love the idea of being in a room with, you know, 2,000 other people or 3,000 other people or 200 other people. But other people, it sounds like their worst nightmare. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, a lot of businesses particularly, realized that you don't need to have people disappearing away for 3 or 4 days at a time, attending conferences, attending events. There's absolutely no reason they can't attend online. So, I mean, the experience, as we all know, the experience is quite different, but it can also be quite rich. It can be an enjoyable experience. And I think that, but again, particularly kind of the out-of-hours type event work that we do, or our business hours event work we do, again, we get watch parties, we get people who are sharing stuff on social media where they're sat on their sofa, even, you know, even in their sort of finery, but they're still, they're at home or they're in the office. So I think there is a place for it post-pandemic, but I think it's slightly different because it's a choice thing now generally, or a practicality thing, whereas obviously during the pandemic, it was just the way it had to be. That was the only solution.
Where I think that live streaming particularly has a place nowadays is the change in quality, because in the lockdown, obviously, everyone was still kind of scurrying around trying to make things work. Everything, it was almost like permissible to have a homemade element that everyone could be at home.
Oh yeah.
And it still is. But I think for larger events, for events that consider live streaming or going live to ticketed audiences across the world or wherever, there has to be, I think, an elevated experience. So if you're charging ticket prices that are of a similar value to being in person, or if you're charging them at a relatively larger value, it's important that that quality, that experience is definitely there. So making sure that the connection's brilliant, that the hosting platform works, that all these things have to go into place to make it work.
I think we probably should have caveated this entire episode with the word professional live stream.
Oh damn, we're still formulating the question. Well, like,
only so far as, because in my mind, if you say live stream to me, obviously I talk about I think about and I talk about the type of live stream we do, which is high-end, multicam, live editing, live graphics, all that sort of stuff. So in essence, a viewer of a live stream that we do and other colleagues that we've got in the industry, it should be like a professional TV.
Like a broadcast.
Like a proper broadcast. Yeah. There's obviously a place for homemade live stream and do-it-yourself live stream. There's obviously a place, there's room for everybody in our world. However, I think what we should definitely caveat this by what we're talking about here is professional live streaming. Mm-hmm. And I think that, again, well, obviously it's a business ethos of mine that everything we do should be as, you know, it's basic stuff, but everything we should do should be as good as we can possibly make it. But particularly when people are paying money, and often quite good money, they expect an experience. Mm-hmm. And I think that being able, it's vital that experience is of a high order and is really, really visually engaging. It really captures the imagination, and what's happening on the stage or what's happening at the event, whatever it might be, is right. And that's not just the visual stuff. There's also the audio feed to consider. Often we're working with colleagues with often quite large sound productions. So we often have to compress a, you know, 96 channel super professional mega desk. Not Megadeth. It's quite a difference.
It's a very different audience.
ultimately we have to get that down to just being one audio track that's made up of everything. Mm-hmm. And again, that could be a challenge at times. And then the final hurdle is always always the bandwidth. Mm-hmm. and bandwidth. You've almost never got enough. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. You know, when you're throwing hundreds and hundreds of megabytes a second across multiple platforms, it can get a bit challenging. So there's a lot to juggle with any kind of professional live stream. But I think there's definitely a place for it. And I think that the niche is starting to be carved quite well now.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like a necessity anymore, but it feels like an elevated sort of alternative, I suppose. So it's sort of, rather than as an audience member sort of having to go to the other side of the country or a different country or whatever.
It's a global audience as well. That's
global
the other thing to bear
audience.
In mind.
Oh, I love it. And this is something that I think it does still have a place. It should be factored in, I think, for events companies or people who are putting on conferences or even live music and festivals, etc., because it's inclusive. And I think what we found since the pandemic is inclusivity and making people feel like they're part of something is probably one of the most important impactful things, because we've all over the past few years, I think, seen the reverberations of the global pandemic and seen how that's impacted societies and communities and all sorts. But I think being able to kind of reinforce the idea that you're your event or your festival or whatever it may be, or even just something smaller scale like a panel or whatever it may be, or a seminar, is to say it doesn't matter where you are, this message and what we're doing is important. And I think that continuing to drive that even after the kind of the sort of trend of live streaming has sort of dissipated, I think is essential.
I agree. And then it's also worth bearing in mind that you've got the geographic issue, but also that some people can't travel, you know, like for whatever reason, you might physically not be able to go to the thing that you're interested in. And it's a good, I mean, if you think about it, it's a more practical use of your time often that, you know, if there's a half day event, you've not got to spend a day getting there. You know, a half day is always a full day, and then you've got to get home and hotels and meals and all the rest of it.
Sometimes you just want the information, don't you? Sometimes you just want to enjoy it. But that was a little bit of a smaller episode, that one.
Yeah.
I think.
Do you want to wind it up?
I want to wind it up.
Okay. You've got a live stream to go and do, have you?
No, but we do have ones coming up this year, which are
really exciting.
We've
got loads of live streams this year.
I know.
And okay. So that was an odd one, wasn't it? No, not an odd one. A short one.
Well, it could be odd if you want. It was a shorter one, but I think we covered what we needed to cover. I think. Anyway, but my final question for you, last question of the piece, is obviously when in the pandemic it sort of springs to mind because everything was live streamed, but what was or has been your favourite thing to watch on a live stream? Not on a broadcast, but like on a live stream. Something that really stands out.
What that we've done, what that we've made.
No, that you've been an audience for.
I have to say, I'm a bit of a tech nerd. Obviously, all the Apple, I mean, all the Apple stuff is just off the scale amazing. That, I mean, that is the creme de la creme of live streams. I like quite techy things where new products are being. So, Blackmagic do a brilliant sort of 3 hour long introduction to new products. But I have to say, probably Apple's, really, because I think their last one they did, and then at the end they said, oh, and by the way, this entire thing was shot on an iPhone, with a massive caveat, to be honest, iPhone attached to a sort of
big production
£100,000 lens, but anyway. but you still think, wow, that is incredible to be able to deliver that across the internet is something quite extraordinary.
Yours is really mature. That was really highbrow. Mine really isn't at all.
So the grown-ups have spoken. What's yours then?
I was hoping you'd say something as immature as mine. Mine was during the pandemic, a zoo were doing like an animal feeding session. They were doing like an animal feeding thing. So during the pandemic, because obviously all the zoos were closed, you went round with a zookeeper and they fed all the animals that day. And I tuned in. I was fully expecting you to say something quite high, but me quite highbrow, yeah. But so that was the episode today. A bit shorter, but we've got plenty coming up soon, haven't we?
We've got loads happening.
Fabulous. Right. Well, that's it for today. And we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Take care.
Bye.